Turn in your Bibles to Acts 15.
Acts 15, you say, hey, Pastor, we were in Hebrews. Well, we've learned a lot in Hebrews. Let's apply what we're learning in Hebrews to the rest of the Word. You know, in the time of the Reformation, Romans and Galatians was very popular because Protestants, by the way, do you know we're a Protestant church? The word Protestant means Protestant. Do you know what we were protesting? Romanism and its teaching that unless you do certain things according to Romanism, you cannot be saved. And the founding fathers, the Protestants, said, no way. That's not what the Bible says, so we need to get into the Bible. We're protesting. That's why we protest what the church says, because the church is never in the Bible. Last night I was looking at a program, TED Talks with Sarah, and it was talking, a neurologist was talking. And he was talking about neurology and the brain, and I'll tell you something, one of the hardest things in life is change. You know they have a term for that, brain plasticity. The older you get, the more your brain loses its flexibility. You want it a certain way because it's been that way for a long time, and there may be no rational reason why it has to be that way. You just have done it that way, and there's a biological reason for it. It's called brain plasticity. The older you get, the more your brain cannot be flexible. That's why you have a crazy preacher that never wants to reach the area where my brain is no longer flexible. We were listening to this guy last night, and he was talking about people that have phantom limbs. And what they found out was, he's a neurologist, medical doctor, great speaker. Usually they're nerds with the pocket thing, you know, and they're like that. I can't stand that kind of a speaker. I get in trouble for not being that kind of speaker at the seminary, but you know those nerds, they just sit there and they... I think Mark would know, because a lot of those scientists, Mark, they put you to sleep, you know? He's sitting there talking, and there was this case he was dealing on as a neurologist, because he's studying brain plasticity and how the brain works. And he was talking about why people see numbers in color. Do you know that people see numbers in color? There are some people that have that genetic ability to see numbers in color. When you say number six, they actually see a color. It's genetics. We won't get into why. But one of the things that he told was this fascinating thing about brain plasticity. This man had a limb that had frozen. And the doctors didn't know what to do because it had frozen in a clench and it was extremely painful. And he was in excruciating pain every day. So this one surgeon decided, we'll cut the arm off so that he won't have it clenched. And so it kept him up. It just wouldn't. He could not. He could do anything he wanted. He could not get rid of that clench. They cut it off. And guess what happened? He had a phantom limb sensation, and even with it cut off, this limb that was no longer there, he's still having pain from the clenched fist. Brain couldn't adapt and overcome because it had gotten used to that clench. So the guy discovered, this neurologist told the story, he made this box mirror thing where the guy would put his arm that's okay in this mirror and look down. And he'd, the mirror image would be right here, like the phantom image. And so the guy would look in the mirror and he'd see his arm was back and his arm wasn't clenched because it was the good arm, because it's reflected in the mirror and it looks like the old arm. But the old arm, was like this before they took it off. And guess what happened? After a month of viewing and going like this with the good arm, it taught his brain to unclench the phantom limb and he was free. The moral of that, we talk about, Dave, the moral of that story is, how does this have to do with convenience? The moral of that is, your brain has a hard time changing. It's called brain plasticity. The older you get, the harder it is to do things differently. As a matter of fact, they say if you want to get your brain to be in much better shape, do something differently. Use your left hand. Write with your left hand. Do something you haven't done before. It actually causes the brain to grow new neurons in it. We've changed this seating. That was hard change, I think. And I can blame it on neurology, brain plasticity. You say, what are you talking about, Dave? What does this have to do with communion? Acts 15 can be explained physiologically by brain plasticity. Brain plasticity. Jesus said to the Jews on the night in which he was betrayed, somebody read for me Luke 22:20. Cheryl Malone falling asleep on Pastor Dave. Luke 22:20, Cheryl, what did Jesus say? Jesus announced something that was forever going to change his people. And change is what? Difficult. Because of brain plasticity. Go ahead. What do you got? Okay, he announced to the Jews who for thousands of years had been under the old covenant of Moses. What did he announce? And guess what's going to kick in when you announce the people who for all their culture had been under the old covenant and you're going to announce the new covenant, which came from the old covenant, but nonetheless it was radically different. Guess what's going to happen? Change. And guess what's going to get upset? God's people. And God's going to have to work with them to get them to know that the new covenant was here. Now, if you understand that change is difficult and Jesus announced the new covenant, Cheryl Malone, you're falling asleep again. John 1, 14, law came through Moses. Find that one in John 1. Law came through what? John 1. See, if I see you falling asleep, C Street. Let that be a warning to you. Another word for the old covenant is, you ready? Law. The old covenant came through Moses. The new covenant, which has its great emphasis of, begins with a G. Came through Jesus. Now that explains what is going to happen in Acts. Now listen to me, because this is very important. Jesus announced on the night, and this is why we celebrate communion. Do you know what you're celebrating at communion? The new covenant. You're not in the old covenant. We've gone through Hebrews. What's the key term in Hebrews? Begins with a B. Better. Under the old covenant, it was law, harshness, stoning, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Under Jesus, it's love, gentleness, forgiveness. Because Christ cleansed you by His blood of the new covenant. See, Christians don't understand this kind of thing. And I'll tell you who really had a hard time with this. Who do you think would have had a hard time with switching from the old to the new covenant? Who do you think had have brain plasticity problems with that in the book of Acts? First Paul, but God got a hold of him. But then who? In Acts 13, Paul starts the first missionary journey. He went and he started preaching the new covenant to some people who would have real brain plasticity problems with the grace of Jesus Christ. Guess who it would be? The Jews. Do you know what makes a Jew in the old covenant? Moses. That's why last week we showed you, remember Jesus said, I know who your father is. Who did they say their father is? Our father is Abraham. We follow Moses. Well, that's because you have brain plasticity problems. I came to announce to you the new covenant in my blood of forgiveness, of restoration, and the rules are different. And when Paul began to understand the new covenant and he took it to Jewish synagogues, what made a Jew was all physical. You kept the Old Testament covenant. Moses, we follow Moses. How many times they told Jesus that? Well, that's because you have brain plasticity problems. You want to know the truth physiologically? And what's interesting is when Jesus inaugurated the New Testament and he announced that to his people who have problems changing, what did they do to Jesus? They what? You know why they did it physiologically? It's true. Some people think this is a crazy preacher. It's exactly true. Physiologically, our brains don't adjust well. All those old priests and leaders and elders couldn't change. When Paul began to proclaim the new covenant in Acts 13, 14, how many have read the first missionary journey? He went to the synagogue and Moses and circumcision and all that of the old covenant made a Jew. Guess what happened to Paul? They stoned him and left him for dead. Why? Brain plasticity. They couldn't change to see Jesus inaugurated the new covenant. As a matter of fact, at one point they stoned him, left him for dead. And by the way, where are you going with this, Pastor Dave? By the way, this became the biggest problem in the early church. Jewish people were no longer exclusive. See, the exclusiveness of, you know, today I think the Jews have not accepted Jesus on the basis of brain plasticity, because you have to preach to them, you have to become a Jew. Jesus, when we get this next week, broaden it out that we're going to find out that a real Jewish person is not physically Jewish. A real Jewish person isn't physically circumcised. Wait till we get to this next week. A real child of Abraham, a real Jewish person is one spiritually. Now today, when you listen to a lot of Christians, they're going to say, who are the chosen people? They're going to go, those physical Jews. That is not what the New Testament says. Sorry. It's what the Bible says, that they're not. Wait till we shock you on this. And by Acts 15, the church had to have a meeting, because fighting in the church was not a 20th century phenomenon. The church has always fought. And it's due to brain plasticity, stubbornness. Ladies, I'm going to prove it to you. Has your husband gotten less or more stubborn as he's aged? That just started a big fight. You'll not listen to me. All right, let's go to Acts 15 real quick. I'm going to buzz this, but it helps me get ready for next week's sermon. By Acts 15, all Paul got was beat up when he went to the... Because the Jews knew if you took away the old covenant and Moses and circumcision and told people that the Gentiles could become followers of Abraham and sons and daughters of Abraham, that ain't going to go over well. Because the issue that the Jew wanted was they have to become good what? Jews. So here we go. You ready? Acts 15:1. And some men came down from Judea. Now, this isn't just some men. These are people who follow Jesus. Isn't that interesting that people who follow Jesus come from Judea? And by the way, Judea was fundamentalist headquarters. I would not belong to that church. They would church discipline me immediately. They come from Judea. Judea is where all the fundamentalists were. The Mosaic Covenant people who hadn't realized what Jesus had fully done. And they were teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be what? Now there it is. Preach Jesus Christ, but tell people you have to be circumcised physically to be saved under the law of Moses. Hey, what did Jesus do? What did John say Jesus did with the law of Moses? These were people who were following Jesus to say, if we're going to include all of these Gentiles, they're going to have to become good physical Jews. No such thing today. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. We're one in Jesus Christ. Those distinctions are gone, and don't you dare be unbiblical. You have to be circumcised. That's why today, when we have a baptism class, we always tell you it's a witness. That's all it is. It does nothing for you spiritually. It's a testimony. Because then we'd be teaching like the Jews, you have to be baptized to be saved. No, you don't. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, and now you know the term, why would Paul and these fundamentalists, you know what's wrong with fundamentalists? They have brain plasticity problems. Since my college days, I've been among them. I believe in the fundamentals of the faith. Now, let me make this clear for any visitors. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith here. But there's also a lesson to be learned among the some kinds of fundamentalism that are out there, that it's mean, spirited, and unloving because of brain plasticity.
Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were... Go down to verse 5 now. But certain ones of the sect of the...
This is leading up. First of all, they're having a real heated debate. These people followed Paul everywhere, had a real heated debate. The Pharisees who had believed in Jesus... Notice what it says. But certain ones of the Pharisees who had believed in Jesus stood up at the Jerusalem council and... Listen to me, fundamentalism, this is why. Pharisee means the pious separated ones. And the reason why they're pious and separated is... because they have brain plasticity problems. They can't change and they can't flex. The new covenant is here. They can't accept that. And they stood up saying, it is necessary to circumcise these Gentiles and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. That's what the Pharisee fundamentalist said. Let's get them under thee. Begins with an L. Make them into good physical what? Now, next week, you remember this, because next week we're going to show you there is no such thing today. If you don't believe in Jesus, you can be physically related to Abraham, and you're... Sorry, I don't mean an anti-Semitic. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, to his Jews who believed in him, he said, you are of your father the... Jesus said it, did I? Was Jesus anti-Semitic? But fundamentalists love the law! And what were they going to do? They're going to violate all of Hebrews. Do you know what the sin of Hebrews is? That says there remains no more sacrifice if you go back to the what? To the law. This is what Hebrews is. This is why Hebrews should have been really right after the Gospels and Acts should have been right there, because it teaches you the goodness of the new covenant. And yet the law is wonderful and good, but I'll tell you something. All it does is divide. It divides you from the Jewish person, and it just divides and separates. And God is a uniter in the new covenant. I'm so glad to see that at our church, we have precious Egyptians and precious Jewish people all in one body, united, and fully sons of Abraham, we're going to find out, without ever having to have been circumcised or whatever, and keep the law of Moses.
And the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter, this brain plasticity problem. And Peter stood up and said, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles, Cornelius, should hear the wonderful word of God, the gospel. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he, who's he?
Just, I mean, God gave, who's the us? Jews. Right, because in the new covenant, there is no such a distinction. There is no such thing as you're chosen and you're not. Under the old covenant, the Jews are chosen and you're not. Under the new covenant, guess what? We're all chosen. That's because Ephesians says chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Well, that was exclusively under the old covenant, the chosen people. There aren't that. There isn't that today. Because the new covenant, this is the new covenant. Law came through. Listen, if you go back to the law as a fundamentalist, guess who you're following? Begins with an M. Now he's a nice man. You could use his face as a flashlight.
Now therefore, why do you put God to the test by placing on the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear?
You know what they thought about the law? You know what Peter is saying? Hey, oy vey. We couldn't keep this anyway. Who wants to put them back under the law? The fundamentalists, the Pharisees. That's why I don't want us to become a fundamentalist church. I want us to believe in the fundamentals of the faith.
But I'll tell you something, I don't want us to have a culture.
Because it's a bunch of rules. See that man wearing a tie back there? I know some churches that tell people you can't come to church unless you wear a tie. Jesus in the New Covenant said, man looks on the outside. Guess what counts, Jesus said? The inside. That's the keep with the covenant, the new covenant of Jesus.
And all the multitude kept silent, and they were listening to Paul and Barnabas. And James comes up and says, listen, Peter and Paul are right. Because it says in the Word of God in the Old Testament, look at verse 16, and this is where we're going to conclude. After these things, I will return, says the Lord, and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David.
Who's David? Do you know that Jesus is rebuilding the tabernacle of David not through the Mosaic covenant of Moses, and he's rebuilding it through the new covenant of Jesus? You better be careful with your theology. You better be real careful. You need to preach what God's Word says.
Rebuilding the tabernacle of David, David the Jew, comes through not the Old Covenant, not through Old Testament sacrifice.
That's why the Hebrew says, throw it out! The blood of bulls and of goats cannot take away sin.
And I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, and I will rebuild its ruins. I'm going to restore it. Why? In order that the rest of mankind and all the what? Gentiles.
You know how God is restoring the tabernacle of David and rebuilding? It's through the new covenant and through the inclusion of Gentiles. You're rebuilding the tabernacle of David. This is quoted here. How do you like that? Because the true children of Abraham, and we're going to find out next week, the true Jewish people are Egyptians that believe in Jesus, are Jewish people that believe in Jesus. And me, I'm a Heinz 57 mongrel. The tabernacle of David, he's rebuilding the tabernacle of David through the inclusion of the Gentiles in the church.
And it's all through, and all the Gentiles are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from old. You better be careful
on your theology, because the Bible, men teach theology. Let men get a hold of theology, and they'll confuse the Sheol, Hades, Gehenna out of you. It's very simple. The new covenant inaugurated Jesus' love, forgiveness, restoration. The old covenant divided, separated. As a matter of fact, Paul says in Ephesians 2, there was a wall of separation between Jews and Gentiles. Under the new covenant, we're all children of Abraham. Next week, it's coming up. I'm giving you the hint. We all are. As a matter of fact, Paul's going to say, it's not someone who is a Jew on the outside. It's someone who is a Jew on the inside. And the moment you say, well, that's talking about a physical Jew who is also believing in Jesus, you've raised the outside up again. We're going to talk about that, and you can't do that. And when we celebrate the new covenant, we're celebrating the fact that, listen to me, you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ, equally as chosen, equally as called, and you are rebuilding the tabernacle of whom? Who was a Jewish what? Now that's what the Word of God says. That's why we have to rejoice in what Hebrews tells us, because it is wonderful, the new covenant, and that the old covenant, bye-bye. And that's what we celebrate. We proclaim the Lord's death and inauguration of the new covenant until He, what? Returns. You're not a second-class citizen. You're a joint heir.